Quite often I will have one of our young men come and read a passage of scripture, and sometimes a not so young man, and we will use that as the text of our lesson. That also gives me an opportunity to put the lapel microphone on, so you'll have to bear with me for just a moment. For today's lesson, I only have one verse of scripture to read, so I thought I would just go ahead and read it myself. It comes from Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. I'm going to read verse 28, and I want to read from the English Standard Translation. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes, "Just as they did not see fit," in a moment we'll see who they are, "just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things that should not be done." He gave them over to a depraved mind to do things that should not be done. Perhaps your testament has the paragraph divisions. At the top of each paragraph, it will tell you what that section of scripture is dealing with. Perhaps yours says God's wrath against the unrighteousness. In fact, this portion of scripture goes back to verse 18. Can you believe that in the very first chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he's already spending a great amount of time at the very beginning talking about these individuals? Go up to verse 18 and you will see, as you scan down through there, that Paul is writing about blatant sinners. Verse 18, blatant sinners who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Blatant sinners who knew God but did not acknowledge Him or glorify Him as God. And professing to be wise, they became as fools. And you remember David said, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Professing to be wise, they became as fools, and they changed the glory of God into the image of man. Blatant sinners. Well, my lesson today is not about blatant sinners. It's not even talking about casual sinners like you and I. It's talking about those who understand the precious nature of Jesus' kingdom. You remember in the long ago, in Jesus, actually in the rather first part of his ministry, he said, "I will build my church." And brethren and friends, there is only one church that's described on the pages of the New Testament. That is the church that Jesus promised to build. That is the church that Jesus did build. And that is the church that owns our heart, the preciousness of the church. We understand the precious nature of the church. And brethren, our anticipation, listen to me, our anticipation is to go to heaven and spend eternity, all eternity, with God and Christ and the Spirit in heaven. That's what this life is all about. It's not about making money. It's not about making a name for ourselves. It's about preparing ourselves to hear Jesus say, "You've done well. You're a good and faithful servant." Elsewhere, he says, "Enter thou into the joys prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Brethren, that is what it is all about. But not everyone feels about the kingdom the way we do. Look at the newspaper. Look at the internet. Go to a movie. Talk to someone. You realize that not everyone is interested in the precious church of Jesus Christ as we are. They're not interested in the kingdom. Our text says that there are some then, there are some now, that just don't see fit to acknowledge God. You remember Paul, the same penman, was writing to another congregation. And he said really the same thing. The message of the cross, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, for those who are perishing, is foolishness. They think it's foolish for us to get up early on a Sunday morning when we could sleep late. They feel it's foolishness for us to come together and worship together. They think all of that is foolishness. But Paul goes on to say, for those of us who understand, those of us who believe, this is the power of God. If Paul is the penman that God used for the Hebrew epistle, which we do not know, but here he talks about that sin that so easily ensnares us. King James says it besets us. It traps us and it holds us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. But those of us who do see fit to acknowledge God, those of us who do not suppress the truth, those of us who do glorify his name, those of us who do understand the precious nature of the church, those of us who do anticipate an eternity with God in heaven, we know what the kingdom means to us. Now let's get into our text, Matthew chapter 13. If you will open to Matthew 13 and just remain open there, we'll make a few readings from the chapter. Matthew chapter 13 has been called the chapter of parables. And the reason it is thus called, because there are seven of Jesus' parables in this one chapter. Some of his best known parables are in this chapter. The parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares, the parable of the mustard seed, also the parable of leaven and the dragnet. And he also gives us two parables that show us the infinite value of Christ's church. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Now, brethren, I think we should understand that some in Jesus' original audience had difficulty understanding some of his teaching, even some of his parables. We have the parable and the explanation, so we don't have a problem at all understanding, but some of Jesus' parables were difficult even for the apostles to understand. For instance, the parable of the sower. He gives the parable and then later he explains it to the disciples. The parable of the wheat and tares. He gives the parable and then later he explains it. But this parable that I just read and the next one that we read in just a few moments are impossible to misunderstand. In fact, I've said this before. To misunderstand Jesus' teaching here, you've got to really try to misunderstand. A man is in a field. He finds a treasure that is hidden there. He realizes that that treasure is so precious, that treasure is so valuable that he just has to have it. And in order to get it, he has to buy the field. And so he goes and he sells all that he has. He sells his home. He didn't have a car, but if he did, he would sell his car. He would cash in his 401k, take all the money out of his checking account in order to buy the field. And when it's all said and done, all he has to his name is the field and the treasure therein. Now in this story, we're not told what is the treasure. Maybe it's gold, silver, diamonds. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it was precious. It was very, very valuable. Now those of us who are Christians, we know what our treasure is. Our treasure is heaven. Our life is designed to get us to heaven. And using this parable, let's say it this way. What is the field? Well, the field is the church. When a person is in the church described on the pages of the New Testament, he is in Christ. If a person is in Christ, he receives the promises of heaven. I've already alluded to the fact that Jesus promised and built his church. It is Jesus, the Bible says, that adds to the church daily such as are being saved. It is Jesus, the Bible says, that is the head of the church. In fact, he is the Savior of the body. Now, you and I would probably never think about hiding our treasure in the ground somewhere. I don't know if the ground was composed of dirt or soil, but we wouldn't even think about that. But he did. He decided he would hide that treasure and then he would go and find it later. Today we put our money in the bank or in the safe or something like that. People in that day didn't do that. But here is a first important point in this parable. Not in the next parable, but in this parable. He just stumbles onto this treasure. He finds this treasure accidentally. That's the difference in these two parables. He finds the treasure accidentally. In the next parable, the man is deliberately looking for treasure. He accidentally finds the treasure, and in order to have the treasure, he has to own the land. In order to have the treasure, he has to own the land. Whether he found it deliberately or accidentally, he wasn't gonna let it get away. Brethren, that is the first and most important point in both of these parables. Once the treasure is found, they determined not to let that treasure get away. Now, today we can't buy the church like the man bought the field. We can't buy salvation. Salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, is a free gift from God. But the point is, Jesus's point is, whatever it takes, we have to be willing to do. If we have to submit to Jesus's will, then let's submit to his will. If we have to obey his commandments, then let's obey his commandments. Whatever it takes, that's what we must be willing to do in order to find this treasure. And again, some people are just not willing to do that. We introduced our auditorium class this morning at 9:30, reminding ourselves of the story, not a parable, the story of the time the rich young ruler came to Jesus seeking the way to eternal life. Jesus told him what he needed to do. He was unwilling to do it. And the Bible says the man went away sorrowful because he was not willing to do what Jesus told him he had to do. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6 in this chapter. Now he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, but he's talking about himself and his generation. He said, they hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they do not comprehend. Because the heart of this people has grown dull. Well, then that sounds like our generation, does it not? The heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they could see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn. The word turn here is elsewhere translated repent. That's what repentance means, to make the proper turn. God wants all men everywhere to turn, to make a change, to repent. Jesus said these people, if they would open their ears and their eyes and their heart and turn, he says, I will heal them. That's verse 13, 14, and 15. Now our next parable. We're now in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the difference between these two parables. The first man found the treasure accidentally. This man is looking for pearls, and he finds a pearl of great price. But the outcome is the same. He did whatever it took to purchase that pearl of great price. If it meant submitting to Jesus' will, he did. If it meant accepting Jesus' commands, he did. He did whatever it took to find salvation. Now, brethren, we need to love the treasure that Jesus has for us. We need to love the treasure that Jesus has for us. Whether we find it by accident or whether we find it at the end of a deliberate search, we need to love the treasure that Jesus has for us. In Psalm 119, verse 127, David is talking about God's word. He says, we need to love God's word like people love gold. Yea, fine gold, the most precious of gold. Now, I stated a moment ago that though the man bought the field, the other man bought the pearl of great price, we cannot buy salvation, and such is certainly true. But they paid the price. And brethren and friends, we also have to pay the price. And Paul talks about the price that we have to pay to the Romans. You remember we began there in the first of our lesson. He said, I beseech you, I beg you to present your bodies, your life, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he continues, do not be conformed to this world. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So don't let anyone ever tell you, it doesn't cost anything to be a Christian. It costs our life, and some people simply are not willing to pay. Now, in conclusion, let's go even further into Matthew 13. There's another little short parable. We'll mention it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Now, when we think of a dragnet, I think about a shrimp boat. You know, we have shrimping here. Whether you have a smaller net behind a bay boat, or a huge net behind a gulf boat, that's what I think about. It just goes through the water, and anything that can't swim out of the way is going to get caught in that shrimp net. But really, I more often think about a gill net. I can't talk about those. Those are illegal in Texas. But I think about a gill net. A gill net is made of monofilament line, just like our fishing line. Under the water, it's invisible. So you stretch this gill net out. The fish can't see it. They all just run into that gill net, and they're caught by the gills because they didn't see it. That's what I think about. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. They put the net out. The fish are in there. They bring it up to the shore. The fish that is good, they keep. The fish they don't want, the hardheads and all, they throw them away. And then Jesus says, this is verse 51, do you understand? What is he saying? Do you understand how serious our salvation is? Brethren, that's another problem we see in our brotherhood today. People are just not as serious as we should be. We need to understand, because nothing is as important as salvation. Not money, not fame, not wealth. Nothing is as important. And we need to be willing to do anything and everything we have to do in order to find salvation. Now, I did not mention at the beginning of my lesson the title. The title of the lesson is The Worth of the Kingdom. What is the kingdom worth? So I've given you now the title. I've given you now the lesson. Now let me give you the question. What is the kingdom worth to you? What is the kingdom worth to you? The treasure that Jesus sets before you is the most precious thing we can even begin to imagine. It cannot be bought with gold or silver or the blood of bulls and goats. It could only be bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot purchase it. Jesus did. Therefore, we have to get into it. to him. Now you've heard the truth. You've found the truth. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be like Felix, Acts chapter 24? He told the preacher, and I have a hard time not putting attitude into it. Maybe he didn't have this attitude. But I almost hear him say to the preacher, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call on you. We don't find that he ever found that more convenient season. Or you're going to be like Agrippa in Acts 26. Agrippa said to the preacher, you have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Or are you going to be like the man who found the treasure hidden in the field? He gave up everything he had to possess that treasure. Or are you going to be like the man who was searching for precious pearls? When he found that pearl of great price, he did everything he could, everything he had to, in order to purchase, not purchase, but to have salvation. What is the kingdom worth to your soul? I deliberately chose this song as our invitation song. Go ahead and open up to it. It talks about trust. And brethren, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about trust. Trust and obedience. Trusting in the Lord and obeying what the Lord says we have to do. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This song has five verses. We're only going to sing three. We're going to sing the first two and we're going to sing the last. And if anyone, for any reason, needs to respond, we pray the Lord will give you the strength and the courage to do so by coming as we stand together and sing.